Welcome to Marvin Methodist Church. My name is Doug Baker, and I'm the lead pastor. Today, we celebrate Pentecost and the giving of the Holy Spirit to the church. We also conclude our sermon series, Transformed to Overcome. May the Holy Spirit bless this message and lead you out of frustration and into freedom. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit. You will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires that which is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness and orgies, and all the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and forbearance, kindness and goodness and faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Again, we welcome you to this service of worship. So glad to have you here today on Memorial Day, also Pentecost Sunday. Let us pray. Lord, in these moments, as your word is proclaimed, hide me now behind the cross. Let nothing come between us and Jesus. And so come, Holy Spirit, speak through me. If not through the words I share, then in the quietness of our hearts, may you encounter us today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, friends, on this Memorial Day weekend, we want to acknowledge for sure those who have served as veterans. We thank you for your service. We also want to acknowledge those who gave the ultimate sacrifice in whatever wars they were, who laid down their lives so that we might remember them and honor them tomorrow as a part of Memorial Day. As we celebrated every year in the past several years, we have placed the names divided for us by the Department of Defense of those who have died this past year since the last Memorial Day. And during the closing hymn, you will have the opportunity to take one of these names, to remember them tomorrow on Memorial Day, to acknowledge and pray for their families, because we know that tomorrow will be the first Memorial Day without their loved ones. So thank you for participating in that as we honor those today. But we also today celebrate Pentecost, the gift of the Holy Spirit to the church. And we thank God for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit plays many roles in our lives. The Holy Spirit is for us one who prays for us, one who also empowers us and gifts us with spiritual gifts. He helps us to remember the teachings of Jesus. And oftentimes the Holy Spirit will nudge us either not to do something or to do something as good, as Anquinette so beautifully said in her children's message today. Friends, according to today's passage, we are to walk in the Spirit. We are to be led by the Spirit. We are to live in the Spirit. And in saying this, we are to also keep in step with the Spirit. Four different ways Paul describes that we are to be in relationship with the Holy Spirit. I think it's clear how important the Holy Spirit was to the Apostle Paul. Do not neglect the Holy Spirit in your life. To do so will leave us vulnerable to be formed by the world and a losing battle with the flesh and its desires. John Mark Comer, in his book, Live No Lies, states beautifully, our deepest desire usually is to become a person of goodness and of love. But so many times, this is sabotaged by a stronger surface level desire of our flesh. This is exacerbated by a culture where the widespread wisdom of the day is follow your desires. Friends, the church says, crucify the flesh. And so today, we study this topic of desiring the flesh and knowing that truly freedom does not come through chasing after desires. Those desires will change and shift, and oftentimes if we are not careful, those desires will get us into trouble, they will enslave us, they will create bad habits for us, and they will oppress and hurt others that we love and care about. Giving in to desire of the flesh can be slavery, the opposite of freedom. We remember today those who died for the cause of freedom, for our nation. And we also remember today that Jesus also died for our freedom, that we could be set free. And the Holy Spirit is for us to walk in that freedom, there to help. Where Jesus, through his death and resurrection, defeated sin and death, the Holy Spirit is the reinforcement, the presence, that abiding presence that he brings to help us to continue the fight that we have as we battle the desires at times of the flesh. Today, we're going to lift up the word freedom, but I also want to talk about the Holy Spirit and the names, one particular name of the Holy Spirit found in John's Gospel. The 14th chapter, the 15th chapter, the 16th chapter, the farewell discourse of Jesus, we find the Greek word paraclete, which means one that comes alongside and helps. This is how the NIV translates the Holy Spirit as the helper. And we're going to talk about our helper today. But let's first talk about freedom, because that's where the Apostle Paul starts this conversation in verse 13. You, my brothers and sisters, are called to be free. You probably realize in this great nation in which we live that the most cherished of values for the United States of America is freedom. Our nation was born because of its residents' desire to be freed from the tyranny of the British rule. We have a birth narrative of being forged out of a desire for freedom. The most famous quote from the Declaration of Independence declares that all men are endowed by their Creator with unalienable rights, including life, liberty, which is freedom, and the pursuit of happiness. Many through the years, in both wars, foreign and domestic, have fought for the cause of freedom. Some fought to free slaves. Some fought to free nations from oppressive countries, to free countries from the ideology of communism. And also, some have fought to free the world from the dangers of nuclear threat. We understand the cost of freedom, and we have created a day to remember those who made the ultimate sacrifice. But again, on every Sunday that we gather as a faith community and as churches gather around the world, we lift up one who died for the freedom of his people who follow him. We're reminded that Jesus offers us freedom through his death, his teachings, and through the help of the Holy Spirit. The good news today is, however you might find yourself oppressed today, however you might find yourself enslaved today, whatever it is that is keeping you from walking in the freedom and the call of being free in Christ, the Holy Spirit can help you, and by Christ's death, you can be forgiven and be set on a new path. You do not have to leave here today with the same challenges and the same burdens and the same oppression that you have known before. If you came here today and you're holding a grudge, you can let it go. You can give it to Jesus, who died for you so that you might be able to forgive someone you love. That is just an example of how the body and the flesh oftentimes are in fighting with each other. But you can let God win. You can let the Holy Spirit have the victory through Jesus Christ. Now, chapter 5 of the letter of the Galatians starts with the words, "It is for freedom that Christ has set you free." Now, last week, I also preached on the book of Galatians, and as, again, We were talking about, and Gwinnett was sharing with the children, a long list of rules. We had Galatians and the area of Paul's first missionary journeys. And we have churches that have emerged out of that, and they are Gentiles. And there are some Jewish Christians there in the midst as well. And the Jewish Christians are telling the Gentiles they must be circumcised, they must follow the laws of Moses in order to truly be saved. And that's what's upsetting Paul. And that is what Galatians' letter is truly all about. He will say in Galatians 5, 6, in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself in love. You're going to follow the one who laid down his life in love for you, then you must lay down your life for others, and you must crucify the flesh. You must love others as Jesus has loved you. Now, friends, I know many of you today, when you're thinking about a struggle of the flesh, are not thinking about circumcision. You're probably not thinking about that. That's one of the topics that he had to deal with, and he goes. But you're in good hands. Good luck today, because there are 15 things of the flesh that he lists out for you that you might find that one might speak to your heart this day. Paul is going to list them out, and he calls them obvious acts of the flesh. Now, I'm going to group them into four categories with the help of Joseph Barber Lightfoot, a British bishop of the New Testament of the 19th century. And this is the way he grouped them, so we don't have to list out all 15. There are three sins of sensuality. Sensuality. Good pleasures created by God, distorted by human beings. Using others to make a profit. Trafficking people, however you want to call it. Let me just remind you that in biblical times, sexual promiscuity was a terrible disease of humanity. But when Christianity came on the scene, people began to change. People began to pursue a holiness of life. People began to set their minds on higher things rather than the debauchery of humanity. And friends, the good news out of that is people began to make note that Christianity was making an impact in the world. Well, let me tell you something. I am concerned about where we are in the battle with sensuality and adult entertainment in the world today. Do you realize that adult entertainment in the world is $97 billion profiting business? $97 billion. Friends, that is bigger than the gross national product of 133 countries of the world. That is terrible. And the worst part about that is a lot of human trafficking and enslavement of people is driving this business that some people are just clicking on and not even thinking about, that is a child of God. That is somebody's daughter or son that you're watching. Friends, let that speak and let that settle. Let the Holy Spirit do his work. Then there are two sins associated with heathen religions, idolatry and witchcraft. And then there's eight sins that involve conflict with others. I'm going to name these because this is probably where we're going to land ourselves and where we might need to make an adjustment or say no to the flesh so that we might say yes to God and to the loving of people. He mentions hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy. That's why I added that last verse onto the scripture reading. After all the beautiful wording that is shared, he has one more statement to make, isn't it? Let us not become conceited. Let us not be provoking. Let us not envy each other. Because friends, let's just be honest. The hardest part about being a Christian and loving others is loving the people around us, loving people in the church, loving the neighbors that we work with or we share homes with. That's where the rub comes. That's where it gets hard. And I will share with you that on Friday, I was trying to navigate some home repair that was being done while also doing an afternoon memorial service, and Gina was out of town. And as I was navigating all this, let's just say this. I was not sounding the note of harmony or patience. It was discord with one of the contractors. The sins of the flesh will sneak up on you. And friends, as Bishop Scott Jones would say, Doug, which gift of the Holy Spirit, which fruit of the Holy Spirit was missing? It was patience again. God is still working on that with me. The last two speak of drunkenness and things that can result out of that. Paul makes it clear. We can say yes to Christ and be free in Christ, but Christ does not make us free so that we might sin more. Christ makes us free so that we can choose the way of love and not sin, the way of sacrifice and service for others, and not be consumed just simply with our own happiness. Freedom does not mean that we are free to indulge in the lower side of human behavior. We are free to walk by the Spirit and not to gratify the desires of the flesh. Galatians 5:17 reveals that there's a battle that's going on, a very real battle between the Spirit and the flesh. And this is the Spirit with a capital S, not a personal spirit with a little s. There is a battle that keeps us, that's going on, so that we oftentimes cannot do what we want to do. But friends, I want to share with you a beautiful story of a woman named Marion Mill. It illustrates the disappointment that comes when you pursue the things of this world, but then it has a beautiful ending. In 1913, Marion was born into a dream world. She was raised in a Hungarian castle. She was attended to by maids and butlers and governesses and chauffeurs. In fact, it's said that when her family traveled, they took their old bed linens because they thought it was beneath them to sleep in any other linens that other people had slept in. It was below their dignity. And as a young adult, she went to Vienna, Austria, and she met a movie director named Otto Preminger. And soon the two were married. They moved to Southern California, where the Preminger's career took off. The couple basked in the fame. Marion ascended to the social ranks, prominent in Hollywood, glamour, with wealth and a need for obsession with high living and the latest of fashion. Marion, though, was miserable. She began to drown her feelings in alcohol and drugs. She had numerous affairs, as did her husband. It ended their marriage. She was depressed. She was desperate. She needed a new start because she had even become suicidal. She left California. She moved back to Europe. She began to desire to maybe be a social elite in Paris. But one day, she learned about Dr. Albert Schweitzer making a visit to Europe, leaving the mission fields of Africa. She knew this man was a godly man, a man who was a physician, a theologian, a humanitarian, and an organist. And he had actually taken a leave of absence and was in that community, and he was playing an organ nearby, and she sought him out. And just as we've seen with Jonathan having an assistant to turn the pages, she decided that while he was playing, she would just stand there next to him and turn the pages for him as he played the organ in the church. After they were playing, and he invited her to a meal with friends. And while they were enjoying that dinner party, Dr. Schweitzer invited Marion to come to Lambérin, Gabon, Africa, to the hospital where he worked and serve the poorest in the world. Marion Preminger went to Africa, and she would stay there for a while. Then she would return to the States, and she would use her social connections to raise money to go back to Africa to take Schweitzer more funds. The girl who was raised in a castle, who'd been pampered and spoiled, now found herself bathing babies, changing bedpans, feeding lepers. But these are her words. I thank God that Schweitzer allowed me to become a helper, because it was in helping that I found everything. Helping, that is what gave her purpose and meaning. I did some research. Did she become a Christian because she was Jewish in her upbringing? She never converted to Christianity, which is amazing to me, because she was walking in the steps of one who loved others as he loved himself. Schweitzer had these words to say, and she quoted him. It was quoted in her obituary. There are two kinds of people in the world, the helpers and the non-helpers. And in her obituary, Marion wanted the words, "I am a helper." Her life was changed when she took her eyes off herself and began to help others. And friends, that happens when the Holy Spirit gets ahead of you and into you and begins to do a good work in you. I'm so grateful for this church. There's a lot of people that do a lot of helping. I want to let you know that on Thursday and Friday, we had two memorial services, one in the chapel, one in this room here. And the people that served in the kitchen, combined hours for those 2 days, probably served about 8 hours on Thursday and Friday, helping a family go through a moment of grief. I'm so grateful for those who serve in our kitchen as volunteers. Yes, amen. And there were many staff members when that service ended at 3 who began immediately to flip this room on a Friday afternoon at 3 o'clock so it would be ready for you to walk into this morning, taking down flowers, putting up music stands, resetting the choir area, all of this because they love this church and wanted to be ready for this morning. I'm so grateful that Diego moved into our community yesterday, and members of the SPRC committee, as well as members from 3 adult Sunday school classes, came to help them unload their truck. He and Emma had that truck unloaded with the help of others in 30 minutes. I know they're young and they don't have a lot of stuff, but let me tell you, they went back to the Woodlands, and then the message last night that Diego sent to me was this: we felt very welcomed and loved by the Tyler community and by Marvin Church. And that's not to mention the Marvin Menders and friends who reset the sanctuary, because on June 1st, another set of pipes and things from the Oregon will be coming in. They got us reset for that and ready to go for that next delivery. We have freedom, friends. We have freedom that we can either choose to serve ourselves and our indulgences and our loves and our passions, or we can also serve others in love. I think the Holy Spirit is alive and well in this church, and I'm grateful that the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the goodness, the gentleness, and the self-control is present all around us. And friends, I want to ask you this question in closing. Will you join me in asking the Holy Spirit to help you, number one, in one area of your life where you are not experiencing freedom, where you are experiencing some kind of bondage? Will you pray with me as I pray for my struggle that the Holy Spirit will help you to find victory in that area? And secondly, will you pray for this church that we will become all that God intends for us to be as we serve this community of East Texas in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord? We pray the prayer, "Come Holy Spirit," often. And people have often asked me, "Well, Doug, why do we pray for the Holy Spirit? Didn't we all get the Holy Spirit when we were baptized?" And yes, that is true. But let me say it this way. Gene and I are married. We've been married almost 40 years. We love each other deeply. We have a covenant relationship that binds us together. And we can be in the same room. And we know that that love is intact and that presence is there. But it makes a difference when I say, "Gina, will you come over here and sit next to me? Will you maybe hold my hand, or will you engage in this conversation or help me with this project that we want to work on?" And in that moment, I have brought her and I together in a beautiful way. That's what we are doing when we are asking the Holy Spirit, already present in us and in our church, to come and do a good work among us. The prayer, "Come Holy Spirit," has origins back to the 200s. It resurfaced again in the 800s and then in the 1200s. And then John Wesley picked it up again with the Methodist movement in the 1700s. Every Christian should receive, Wesley said, and expect and pray for more of the Holy Spirit. So on this Pentecost Sunday, I pray, "Come Holy Spirit. Help us receive your inspiration, your power, your counsel, your fruit. But most importantly, help us to be free as Christ has called us to be free." Will you begin to pray for that freedom in your life? And will you pray for the Holy Spirit to be active at Marvin Church and continue to do the good work that God desires to be done here? Amen. Thank you for watching our broadcast this morning. You may have noticed that we are worshiping in our fellowship hall. This is due to the installation of our long-awaited pipe organ that should be completed and voiced by early June. Please visit our website to learn more about our church, the new organ, and our ministry and serving opportunities. Contributions can be made to the church or by sending a check to the church. I hope you'll come and visit our church in person, and may God bless you.